Let us offer our consecration to the Lord. Lord, we offer up to you this day, and we ask that we glorify your name in all we do. We ask that we are your servants, and everything we do leads us to become channels of your love and grace to all those around us. And we ask this through Christ our Lord. Today's first reading comes to us from the second letter of Corinthians, and it talks about a principle. St. Paul in this letter talks about a principle that is important for us to understand. And the principle is that there are those who will reject the gospel by their own choice, and in their doing so, they will also become blinded to it. There is a principle that if you reject the gospel you by your own choice, then you will never ever be able to understand it. And Jesus talks about that. And I should change that. You will never be able to understand that unless you realize that your rejection from the gospel is leading you into darkness and you change that way. You know, a great example that I always give, and it's been used by some of the saints in the past in obviously different forms, but if God is light and you walk away from God, where do you go? You walk into darkness. Well, if Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and you walk away from Jesus or you reject Jesus, what do you not going to find? You're not going to find the way, the truth, or life. Because Jesus is the source of all that is true. Now remember, we're talking about Jesus as the second person of the Trinity, so we're talking about Jesus as God. And so if you walk away from God, you're going to walk into darkness. Now what is the promise made by the devil? You will be like gods. So if you have decided that you are all-knowing, or you know enough because you are God and you don't need to listen to the true God, then are you ever going to understand the truth? No, you never will, because you've cut yourself off from the source of truth, thinking that you yourself are the source of truth, or that you have found the source of truth. You know, it's kind of an example I like to use. These people turn around and say there is no God. Then the next question is, well, then who is God? In other words, if you're going to turn around and say there is no God, then are you claiming that you are the source of knowledge that I should listen to? Because there are people that will say there is no God, and the words that they say I wouldn't listen to if I was paid to listen to $1 million. As the saying goes, you couldn't give me $1 million to listen to those people. I won't mention the name of this particular atheist, but I do describe, and the reason is because I do describe him as my least favorite atheist in the entire world. There are great people who are atheists. There are great people who don't believe in God. They're really nice people, and they can do good things. We all know that. That's always, just because someone believes in God doesn't mean anything. Remember, the devil believes in God. But then there are some atheists that really are just obnoxious. And one of them, world famous atheist, there was a case of what is known as the blasphemy challenge. I don't know if you ever heard of it, but the blasphemy challenge is this thing where you purposely do what is known as blaspheming the Holy Spirit, so you supposedly cut yourself off from God. It's incorrect theology. The whole thing is incorrect, because that's not what the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit actually means, but these people take it to mean that. And I remember I had an argument with the guy who formed this one of these blasphemy challenges. And one of the reasons why I had this argument, and I was against it, is he didn't know this, is because there are people that do this blasphemy challenge, and then almost immediately, and it's just a coincidence, it's not actually because they did the challenge, their life goes south. And the next thing you know, several weeks or months later, I get called up to the psych ward, and these people are suicidal because they feel that they are permanently cut off from God because they made this great mistake. And I have to explain to them, no, it doesn't work that way, and the whole bit. And, you know, one of the things that I say, well, I'm the one that gets called up there. They don't call the local atheist who drew them down the path to do this blasphemy challenge. Well, as I said, there is this world-famous atheist who is actually not local at all. He lives in Europe. And lo and behold, I said, no, the guy who put this blasphemy challenge together was an atheist. And I said, you know, no self-respecting atheist would ever do this because it would give some kind of indication that they actually do kind of believe in God and they have to prove that they don't. Well, sure enough, my least favorite atheist in the entire world did the blasphemy challenge. And it was like, there you go. Just one more reason why I do not like this guy. I won't say who he is. You'd recognize his name right away. He's world famous. And it's like, you know, if you're going to be an atheist, be an atheist. And if you're going to do the blasphemy challenge and you're really not a true atheist because you really have to prove to me you don't believe in God, then that doesn't make any sense. And one of the reasons why that doesn't make any sense is the person is blinded. A person cannot see fully how his actions just kind of reveal his ignorance, I guess, is a way. And you'll find people who make these decisions that don't make any sense in one sense, or they just don't add up. And you go, why would you say something so crazy? And then you realize because they're in darkness. The best example of this is you can find in the Gospels. Because remember, just because someone is in darkness doesn't mean that they don't claim to be a believer in God. And as we look carefully in the Gospels, we see the Pharisees are in this darkness. And Jesus made that very clear. So as I've said before, if you look at the Gospels, as you go closer and closer to Jesus' crucifixion, you see that the Pharisees are entering more and more into darkness, and their hearts are becoming more and more hardened. We're going to talk more about this on the other side of the break. You're listening to St. Anthony Overnight from St. Anthony Parish in Alston, Massachusetts, right here on WEZE 590 AM. And you can also hear us at CatholicAudioMedia.com. You've decided to return to your faith and to start to go back to church. Then everything seems to go wrong. It's almost as if the Lord is making it harder for you. You're discouraged. Have you read Sirach chapter 2? Yes, Sirach chapter 2 has one of the most powerful words of encouragement.
When you come to serve the Lord, prepare yourself for trials.
It reminds you that your difficulties are how God is purifying you.
Though in fire, gold is tested. In the chosen, in the crucible of humiliation.
So the next time you feel the whole world is working against you, check out Sirach chapter 2.
In the Old Testament.
And don't forget our website, CatholicAudioMedia.com. That's CatholicAudioMedia.com, where you can check out our website. You can listen to the archives of the show. You can send us feedback. You can send us prayer requests. Next week, we're going to do another poll. You can do all kinds of things at CatholicAudioMedia.com. Don't forget to check out our Substack newsletter and all kinds of things over there at CatholicAudioMedia.com. So if you look carefully what Jesus is teaching throughout the Gospels about the Pharisees, is he's teaching them that they are going more and more into darkness. They are becoming like the blind leading the blind, even though they claim to be people of faith. But in fact, he's saying they're walking down this path of darkness. Now, don't forget something else. And this is very important. When Jesus resurrects from the dead, he doesn't go back to the Pharisees to prove he is who he says he is. I've always said this is one of the most powerful teachings in the gospel, because if you look carefully how Jesus condemns, he condemns by not inviting, by not being with that person. What's he say in Matthew 25? You know, when I was hungry, you gave me no food. When I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. You didn't recognize me, therefore I will not recognize you, is a good way to paraphrase it. Well, the same thing is with the Pharisees. He uses a great parable in the story of the rich man and Lazarus, where the rich man is in hell, and he calls up to Abraham to send Lazarus down to you know, put some water on his tongue. And Abraham says, well, number one, we can't do that. And he says, well, let me go back to my brothers, because if I come back from the dead, they'll understand this truth and they'll listen to it. And he says, no, even if someone were come back from the dead, they would not believe. Well, obviously, that was a condemnation on the Pharisees, because he knew that if he went back to the Pharisees after he resurrected from the dead, they would have tried to kill him again. Why? They already tried to do it with Lazarus. They were so much in darkness, and here is the thing that is key. Their darkness would make sense to them. Everyone else could turn around and say, do you see this makes no sense? And no, their darkness would make sense to them. It's kind of like when that passage comes up from Luke where the Pharisees want to kill Lazarus. Lazarus, who raised from the dead, they want to kill him because people were believing in Jesus because of him. I've always said, how evil do you have to be in order to want to kill someone who was raised from the dead? But it shows that they're lost in this darkness. So that principle that we hear in the first reading, which you can check up in the third chapter of 2 Corinthians, and you can read that, is actually very real. And we can deal with it on an everyday basis. People will turn around and say, do these people not get this? No, they don't. Isn't that the point? And the thing is, don't take it as pointing to them. Take it as a warning to you. Pray that you never, ever are in a position where you choose to become so filled with yourself that there is no room for God and you can't understand the truth. That's one of the great things. Remember, humility is the doorway to understanding God. One of my favorite lines comes from St. Teresa of Avila. With humility, you can draw God into your soul by a thread. Humility is the doorway. I always think of, you remember Apollo 13, you know, if you've seen the movie? That whole scene where the space capsule had to come in on the right angle, the correct angle, and if it didn't, it would bounce off into space. That was real. That was a major concern people had. They said that whole movie was exactly, everything actually happened that way. And so that whole sign, I remember everyone was afraid of that, that the trajectory had to be a perfect trajectory or pretty perfect. So, and if it didn't meet that trajectory, then the space capsule would bounce off and the Apollo 13 astronauts would be lost. Well, at the same time, what is that trajectory to get God into your soul? It's humility. With humility, that's the trajectory. You just understand that the more you ask the Lord to become your God, the more you recognize you are a child of God and you are not God yourself, that's the doorway that opens up the grace of God to come into your life. And people who don't understand that end up being veiled to the truth. They end up in a kind of being bouncing off the atmosphere type, losing a sense of who God is. We're going to talk more tomorrow. Have yourself a blessed day. You know, we have a website for our programs that will connect you to the parish, the blog, and to share your prayer requests with us. If you've been touched by our program, you can even show your support through your donation. We are at CatholicAudioMedia.com. That's all one word, CatholicAudioMedia.com. It is updated regularly with blog posts and podcasts of the program. So stay connected with us and tell us how this show has touched your heart. CatholicAudioMedia.com. In Cristo vivimos.